We messed up last week, but we're trying to do better. Thank you for being awesome, all three listeners. Yay!
Welcome to our Star Trek Discovery Recap Freakcast. I am your host, Anita Sarkeesian, and I am joined by the wonderful, gracious,
talented,
beautiful, brilliant,
cynical, incomparable, world-renowned baker, Grammy Award-winning.
What else? All right, what's the trifecta?
Nobel Prize nominee.
What's the trifecta when you have a Tony?
What's the EGOT?
Oh yeah, that
the EGOT.
Yeah, that too.
I've surpassed the EGOT. They were like, it would actually be disrespectful for us to give her an Oscar or a Tony because it diminishes her achievements. And so now world governments just try and conference me on the phone and get my opinion about stuff.
For the five people in the world who don't know who you are based on that incredible resume, who are you?
Who am I? Who aren't I?
Oh my God,
Ebony.
You're killing me.
Oh, this is going to be a good one, folks. Ebony Astor, Operations Director for Feminist Frequency, your guide through the Alpha Quadrant.
Are we in the Alpha Quadrant?
In Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Cool. We're in the Alpha Quadrant.
Cool. So it's...
Yeah, which actually is an interesting point because it mimics the way we talk about global positioning in our current day when we say like first world, third world, you know, developing world, whatever. And of course, like as we consider ourselves like the center of the universe, you know, we start with us, right? So we're Alpha Quadrant, and then the further you get away, Beta, you know, Gamma,
like the Delta Quadrant,
whatever.
And Voyager, best Star Trek. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. I was actually just reading up about Delta Quadrant stuff, well, Voyager, because after watching last night's episode, I immediately needed to cleanse my palate with some better Star Trek, so I rewatched Star Trek First Contact, which is just an amazing movie. And was like, "You know what? I always forget to learn more about the Borg Queen. Like, she's just such a fascinating and, you know, problematic in a lot of ways, but still a very fascinating figure." And so I fell into a Wikipedia rabbit hole, or a memory wiki rabbit hole, and was just reading about the Borg Queen. And apparently she pops up a bunch of times in Voyager,
sure,
which
does.
I wouldn't know because I just had no patience for that show.
It's one of the cool things about Voyager. Like, I really like that they explore the Borg a lot more in that show and what they do with it. And all of the relationships around that. So you're missing out, but you're not allowed to watch it. It's just, you're like, it's...
Well, if I actually try and stream it, will my computer shut down?
Yes. It'll be like, nope, you have to apologize first.
I didn't know you had that kind of pull, Anita.
I do.
With CBS All Access.
I do.
Ooh, interesting.
I do. It's magic. It's my magic.
It's you. You got that swing with CBS, and you got that swing with Twitter, according to people.
Apparently.
Like, you're setting the protocols.
God, Ebony, I wish that I had the power that people could accused me of having. Like, wow.
Seriously.
Wow. The things
you
I would
could
do.
Make my life better, you know?
I know?
Like, I could come to you and be like, I'm having some issues with X and Y and Z, you know, idiots on Twitter. Could you, you know, help a sister out?
Yeah.
But apparently, you don't have nearly the kind of pull that people think you do.
I know. Oh, what a shame. We're getting there. We're working on it.
Yeah.
So, totally off topic, fun fact. I am in Sweden. And Ebony woke her
That's
ass
not a
up.
Fun fact for me.
Ebony woke her ass up super early so that she could record this with me. And I'm at a game studio here, and I asked them if I could use one of their recording rooms just so I had something a little more soundproof to record in while I'm on the road. And they're like, yeah, you can totally use this room, but you can't move the sand on the floor because they're recording the sound of sand falling. So just, like, work around that, which I thought is so
Anita
cute.
Anita is in some hippie new age studio where they're creating like spa music with gently tinkling fountains and the sound of sand and rippling
brooks. Exactly. But like, it's actually interesting to see, you know, like, so I, I'm actually in a AAA
studio. Is it interesting to listen to sand?
But it, like, and it, like, the things that we don't think about in game development and, like, even film soundtracks and that sort of thing, like, the fine details that someone is sitting in here literally for, like, the 2 seconds in the game or whatever where you need the sound of sand falling, like, that they have to do every single one of those. So, you know, I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, what's the name of that person on a film set? It's like a, it's not a gopher, it's a Foley. Is it Foley?
I don't know.
Somebody hit me up on Twitter at Ebony Astor. The people who do like that, the sound, like the incidental sound. So it's like, you know, if they're punching someone, it's the sound of someone, you know, hitting a piece of meat. Or if they need the sound of, like, you know, high heels on a sidewalk, they have someone actually in a studio creating that sound. It's fascinating the way they come up with those, whatever. I'm just, it's early, folks. It's early.
No,
I'm gonna be reaching.
I mean, I think that, like, these creative endeavors, you know, like, especially as critics, we sit there and watch them and we critique them as we should.
Yeah.
But there is something really fascinating about how they get made and the amount of work that goes into every little detail.
Absolutely.
Like, I have a tremendous respect. Like, even if a game comes out like shit, it doesn't mean that there wasn't so much effort and labor that goes into making that happen, you know?
Right. Which almost makes it sadder sometimes, because you're like, wow, a lot of people devoted many, many woman hours to creating this thing. And it is a big pile of Waldorf salad. It just sucks.
So speaking of Star Trek Discovery.
Boom. Our segues are A+.
I know.
Yes.
All right. So this episode, I don't know what
boring.
To say.
It was just boring.
So, okay, this episode was so neutral for me, like, in every conceivable way. Like, I'm not coming into it being like, oh, God, it was so bad. And I'm not going into it being like, oh, my God, it was so boring. It was so neutral. Like, there were moments that had my attention and there were moments that I rolled my eyes. And I just, like, I don't know if I'm just being, like, slowly just take, like, I don't even know, dude, this show anymore.
Appropriately enough, since you're in Sweden, let me reiterate, we're being Stockholm syndromed by this show. And I've given up all hope of resisting. I found this episode so meh. And I can barely remember, if it were not for my notes that I'm sitting in front of, I would have a hard time telling you exactly what the F happened in this episode. And that was super disappointing for me, because it was a Saru heavy episode and I love him so much, and they could have done something so much more interesting, but it was just kind of not there.
I like
in the way that this entire series has just been not there.
Yeah. I you know, the episode ended and I was like, I have to think of something to say about this. Like, I legitimately was like, we're going to fill up this time with some stuff, but, like, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing, like, emotionally strong about this episode that I gave a shit about. Like, I liked that Lorca wasn't in it very much. And I think that I tend to, I mean, I guess that's not fair because the time loop episode was god awful. But when Lorca's not around, I think I don't hate the show as much. Like, it's still not a good show, but I just, his presence and him, his character, I despise so much that it's like him not being around, it made it feel a little bit less toxic for me in some ways. Toxic's not the right word, but, like, you know, just kind of,
Did you, one of the things that, that I constantly want is more stories about, like the NCOs of the of Starfleet, you know, so like the people who are the non-commissioned officers, the people who are below decks, you know, like the non-bridge crew, right?
Yeah.
And I would love to know what they think of Lorca, because I bet they think he is just a colossal gaping a-hole at the beginning of the show when, you know, they're in that firefight. And I get it, right? You're in a firefight, you're in a life or death situation, it's high stress, it's high pressure. But he says to Reese, could I trouble you to fire something?
I know.
And I was like, dude, you can be forceful without being a dick. Like, I was just, whatever, you know. I was glad we got very little Lorca.
Oh,
but you know what,
but
can I back up real quick, because we've launched into the show and I need to address something before we get into this week's episode. Can you cue the music? listeners. No, not like circus calliope music. That's, oh boy, I'm having, trying to have a moment here, listeners.
Okay, no, but this is all for three real of you. Serious, so
yeah, this is for real serious. I am giving myself a gentle but nevertheless firm rebuke for something that happened in last week's episode. So as you know, my bread and butter is hating on Lieutenant Stamets. I do not like that character. I find him irritating and off-putting, and not in a charming, whimsical way. And so I crack on him nonstop, week by week. You've come to expect that from me. But I think I kind of went over the line last week, especially once I started critiquing his looks. It's a little bit beyond the pale, and it's not something we like to do. Of course, it happened to coincide with us learning about Anthony Rapp's allegations against Kevin Spacey, who is a fucking demigorgon, apparently, and just an evil, evil person. And I just felt terrible, and Anita felt terrible after the show. We make it clear, like, I have nothing but love for Anthony Rapp, you know, like the actor. I found out recently that he was in Adventures in Babysitting, which I used to love.
Really, I loved that movie.
Yeah, right? I know, yeah. Right? And I felt the earth move under my feet, because I was like, oh, I can't hate this guy too much. But anyways, we want to be clear. Any criticisms we have are of Stamets, the fictional character, not Anthony Rapp. So write that down in your podcast notebooks, underline it. We want to make that very clear. But also, I will try to do better. I will do better about not making ad hominem attacks, because that's just whack. We don't have to do that. And we try and model the kind of media criticism that we want to see in the world. So I feel justifiably horrified. And I actually thank all the people who, you know, hit me up on Twitter and were like, hey, you know, maybe dial it back a bit. I appreciate that. Like, you know, sometimes people call you out and they have not a leg to stand on. But this time y'all did. So thank you for gently, you know, taking me to the river to be baptized.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I appreciated those comments as well. And I feel like I hit publish on the podcast and then read the article and was like, mother effing shit.
I know. Right? I know.
I think that us, like, we are going to, you know, we're critiquing characters, not actors, just like you said, or, you know, not in this situation, but it still felt shitty. And like, So from both of us, like, sincere apologies and just acknowledgement of, like, you know, there's something very, very valuable happening right now with this, like, growing tide of men being outed as abusers and perpetrators in Hollywood. Yep. And like courage to Anthony Rapp for speaking up, and all of the other women who have spoken up and like risked the public humiliation and ridicule that comes with that. So yeah.
Yeah. And to be clear, the fact that this story broke does not make my comments any, you know, less or more, like, it would have been shitty for me to be talking about the guy's looks regardless, you know. Yeah. If this had been, you know, another podcast and someone was talking about, like, Tilly, for instance, or a female character, I would have been up in arms. So, you know, I can't do the kind of things that I call other people to task for.
Yeah.
So hopefully lesson learned.
Yeah, totally. And again, like, if you are gentle and nice and call us out for our bullshit, like, we will listen to you and we will be better moving forward.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. And we, like I said, we appreciate that stuff, because no one is completely woke. We all hit the snooze button on some stuff in life, and you gotta, you know, sometimes you gotta rouse yourself.
Yeah.
And you need help.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Okay.
All right.
One thing that I wanted to say that is not a big statement at all. I don't know why I said it like that. We finally found out the name of the black woman on the bridge with the killer hair. She has a name.
Oh, we knew that a couple weeks ago.
Aw, damn it.
Oh, maybe I didn't bring it up. But yeah, I watch things almost exclusively with captions. Because I am slightly hard of, actually more than slightly hard of hearing. And so I knew that a couple of weeks ago. I've been holding that information back from you.
Okay, fine.
Girl, I was a little stoked. I'm in grade 10, you know? Like, you're still middle school.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well,
but
there goes my exciting
listen, even though, listen, we have learned these characters' names, but we're still not learning anything about them. And hello, next week is the fall finale. So I don't know when exactly we're going to get more from this bridge crew. Like, is the fact that the captain, that Lorca is not the focus of the show, does that mean that no one around him on the bridge is going to get airtime except for Burnham and Tyler when they're kissing?
Still not into it.
You know, I want to learn more about these other people, like Arium, I think. I might be pronouncing that wrong, but Arium. My love on any show goes out to the people who have to sit through the most prosthetics. And that girl looks bomb. Like, the kind of cyber androidy, you know, chick on the bridge. You know who I'm talking about?
Like, she's always in the background shots. The data character of this show?
Yeah, except she's not even getting, you know, any of that kind of screen time.
Right.
But she just looks bomb. And we got her for, like, we got to see her on camera for, like, more than one picosecond.
I'm thinking of someone else because
Lorca said, like, you have the bridge, Arium. And I was like, yeah, let's find out who that is.
Or genderless, we don't know. She looks amazing. Really. But yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could be.
Agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
Yeah.
Very cool looking.
Yeah.
Okay, so, this episode was pretty shockingly boring. But also, you know, this is another example of an episode where I don't fully hate it. I just kind of hate it on the hate-a-meter.
Yeah.
It's like out of 5 instead of a 10 or whatever. But, mm-hmm. I thought that the stuff on the planet with the Pavins could have been so much better than it was, which is what I feel like I say every time there's some kind of, like, species that they deal with. Like, again, last week I said I really like watching Burnham interact with new species, but, like, or, like, creatures, but she didn't do that this time. And, you know, like you were saying earlier, Saru, this episode really centered on him, and it just was so embarrassing. Like... So they're on this special mission, right? And the idea is that there's this fascinating world that has these sound frequencies that are all unique and individual, and they want to harness it to detect the cloaking technologies that the Klingons have, right? It's all like, what do we do to save for the war? We're in wartime, blah, 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 blah.
right.
Oh, God, I'm so tired of that. But so they find out that there's this creature on this planet, and Saru immediately gets like, well, so there's an interesting, actually, what I thought was interesting was that they immediately realize that this is a sentient creature, and Michael's like, we have to enact the first contact protocols. And I was cool. Like, this is the shit I like. Let's do this, right? The tension between we have to do this thing, but here is our laws, and we have to, like, our laws are more important. And so, like, there's going to be a thing, right? Well, then it fucking falls apart.
Right. Well, did it ever hang together in the first place? I have so many questions. First of all, if you're going to transport down to a planet that is going to, like, physically and psychologically be torture for a crew member who is basically living on the edge of sensory overload at all times anyway, maybe don't send that crew member down to that particular planet. Maybe choose someone else for the away team. But also, like, this kind of... I love the idea of Saru's people, the Kelpians, I think they're called, you know, living in this state of, like, near constant anxiety, because I feel like maybe I might be part Kelpian. That really resonated with me. But I'm really excited, or rather I was really excited for that to be explored. But for him, and also, so I love the idea that the kind of mental clarity and peace that the Pavins offered was incredibly alluring for him. And so, you know, at the end of the episode, when he says, no, I was in my right mind when I made the decision to try and sabotage what we were doing, you know, and I thought it was right, and I maybe still think it's right. But I don't know. Part of it might just be my love for Doug Jones, the actor. Like, I like salty Saru. I don't like drippy Saru. I like the Saru who has, you know, a little bit.
Are you using drippy as an analogy for emotional?
No, not, I mean, like, not emotional, because I want him to be emotional, but I don't want him to be kind of like a wet sponge, you know? But I don't know how to reuse words correctly. Somebody back me up here at Ebony Aster. Well, tell me you know what I mean.
I just want to make sure, like, because, like, showing emotion and expressing emotion is something that I think we value. So I don't want to, like, devalue
It's in fact, that's might be the issue, is that I expect more emotion I expect more range of emotion. I expect more intense emotion from a Saru heavy episode. And I would think that it just felt so half done and half baked.
Yeah, I agree. You know? I agree a lot. And I think, you know, the show was setting it up to make us think that he was being taken over, right? That he was being possessed right. by these creatures. And
right.
There's almost something interesting in this, right? Like the at first yeah. I was like, because I don't think they did it well. That's kind of my problem is mm-hmm. I don't think it's an uninteresting yeah. storyline. I think that like the right. line at the end, what, like you just said, where he's like, I was in my right mind, and he explains this idea of fear and like how they live, mm-hmm. like they're literally born to be fearful. I really liked right. that, and I thought that was so fascinating. Mm-hmm. So why did you make me spend the entire episode thinking that he was being possessed by these creatures? And then I was like, well, why is he not being reprimanded for mute? Like, for, you know, like if yeah. he was doing it in his yeah. right mind, he doesn't just get away with that.
Right. Well, listen, clearly Lorca has a really loose approach to, you know, punishment. On board his ship, and I actually was
is punishment was just like actually being in his presence all the time?
Because I think so. Enough. I think he's like, it is really hard for people to put up with me. So that's your sentence. But no, I appreciated that there was a callback to the fact that after this whole thing is over, if it is ever over, and she survives it, Burnham has to go back to prison. And she was talking to Tyler, and she was like, "No, when this is over, I still have a life sentence." And I was like, "Yeah." Yeah, that's a real helpful reminder, you know?
Okay.
Like, you don't get to go off yeah. and have some, like, you know, amazing...
Amazing trout?
Whatever,
okay.
yeah.
Okay, we have to talk about this scene. Okay, first of all, the very first thing, I mm-hmm. love trout. I love fish. I love food in general. I would never mm-hmm. call fresh roasted trout actual heaven.
No.
Right?
But...
So, first of all, Tyler's a dummy.
Well, I could have told you that before this episode.
Okay, what were you going to say?
Nothing. I was just, the one thing that I don't mind about the Tyler Burnham pairing.
Oh, God, I can't. No. Mm-mm.
No, it's gross. Mm-mm. It's gross. And I still, even though every episode there's more evidence to refute my theory, I'm still holding fast to the idea that Tyler's going to turn out to be a Klingon in disguise, and it's going to turn out that Burnham has been macking on this Klingon, and I'm going to lose my mind
okay.
laughing.
If that's what they're doing, I'm okay with that. That's the only,
right.
the only way I'm okay with it.
Seriously, but no, the one thing I actually like about it is that this is one of the few examples we get in the media of an interracial couple that does not have a white member in
yeah,
the relationship.
Yep, 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 true.
That's pretty rare. I mean, most of the times when you hear about, you know, like interracial pairings, there's at least one white member. And it's like, no, there are many other ethnicities and nationalities out there that hook up and, you know, God bless them. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, no white people around. And so I kind of, that's the one thing. It is a small thing.
It's
I
small.
Still
it's...
am not at all interested in any romance
okay.
on this show.
But that scene was so cringingly uncomfortable in
it was
every
terrible.
Way.
Terrible.
So first of all, I don't think that there's good enough intimacy between, like there's not enough chemistry between these actors to
no,
pull it off,
no.
first of all.
Nope.
But also
nope.
everything about those characters is so uncomfortable, like just like them together. And like,
mm-hmm.
okay, he actually suggested not ending the war so that they could bone.
Girl, listen. Listen, I am too through with this show about 47 times an episode. But when he said that, I was like, how much longer am I going to have to do this? And then thank God at the end of the episode, they said it was fall finale next
yeah,
week. I'm
right?
going to need a serious, I need a hiatus.
Yeah.
When I heard the news that The Good Place was going on hiatus till January, I almost started crying. I needed to call and talk to my dad to have him talk me down from the ledge. But once I hear that Star Trek's going on hiatus, good. I need a doggone break. Really, dude? Really? You're thinking about, like, even as, you know, hyperbole, the suggestion that maybe an endless war, you know,
dude,
is preferable so
know.
That you can, you know, keep hooking up with someone. If you don't get the fuck, man, Whatever.
Get out. Yeah, dude. Like, so the line is actually the needs of the many. And then he says,
yeah,
are worth dying for, but so are the needs of the few. And then she says, or the one. Like, that is really stupid. Like,
yeah,
and then
real stupid.
And then it immediately switches, right? Like, they immediately go back to, like, oh, God, we have to go blah, blah, blah. Okay, but I have a very important question for you, Ebony. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's very important.
I bet I have an answer.
I bet you, well, I don't know if you have an answer, because you have to pick one or the other.
I bet y'all make one up.
Okay. This is, like, one of those, you know, like, fuck, marry, kill, or whatever things, okay?
Oh, man. Okay.
Okay, so
okay, I'm ready.
On the show, would you...
Oh, okay.
Would you rather see Lorca have sex with anybody or Burnham and Tyler hook up?
Oh.
In every episode. You'd have... This is like the
first... Oh! Why do you got... Oh, okay. Hold on. In every episode?
Yeah. Like, if this was the thing you had to be exposed to all the time.
This is tough. Those are my only two options.
Those are your only
Can
two
I
options.
Look away? Do I have to...
No,
do I have
you gotta
to
watch, it.
Watch and listen?
You gotta watch and listen and talk about it.
Oh, God. Okay. Whew. I'm going to choose Lorca having sex because I already find his character so ridiculous. I feel like it won't make him any more ridiculous to me or any more painful, because I already find those scenes pretty painful. Also, I have the benefit of seeing Jason Isaacs maybe, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But the fact that we get this new iteration in the Star Trek franchise after all this time, and it's about this badass black woman, and then, like, there's just this half-baked ass romance cooked into the plot, like, that just, it irritates me, it bothers me, you know, out of all the ways they could have got, and I'm not saying, I mean, as much as I crack on, like, romance in the Star Trek universe, if this had happened with another character, like Burnham hooked up with someone else later that we got to know and loved, and they had like explosive chemistry, I'd be totally on board for it. Totally on board. If it was like a Worf Dax kind of situation, you know, later on, a couple seasons in, yes, give it to me. I'm all about it. But this early and with Tyler, no, it just feels like they don't know what else to do with a female character other than have her, you know, devote significant mental energy to a dude.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, not about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Not about it.
All right. Let's talk about the Klingons.
Yes. Let's talk about them.
Because they're, you know, that, I think that, what's her name? That female Klingon that we're watching?
Laurel.
Laurel. I think that there's some interesting stuff with her. Like, I don't hate her entirely.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that was another piece of this episode that I wasn't like, you know, like, it wasn't the most interesting thing, but I also wasn't like, oh God, get me out of here. You know, so she's really frustrated with the current situation, right? Mm-hmm. We learned that, Cole has given the invisibility technology to anyone who will ally with him. And he actually, like, so the distinction they're setting up really pisses me off here. So they've got Takumva, who wants Unity, who is now dead, and Cole, who took over and wants Klingon supremacy. And part of me, like, I can't decide if it makes the species more complex so that there's different perspectives and approaches, or if it just makes it easier to hate the Klingons and, like, be, again, like, be down for the war that's happening.
Right. Right.
So I'm a little torn.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to post it on my Twitter feed, a link to some really interesting stuff I read last night. It was like 8 writers coming up with like their ideal or what they consider to be like really interesting Star Trek spinoffs. And one person, I can't remember who it is, unfortunately, but like I said, I'm going to post the link in Twitter, was saying, you know what, I would like to learn more about the Klingons who are kind of not at the top, so not on the ruling council. And also, yes, about these other factions, because what about the people in like the Klingon Science Academy who are not religious fundamentalists, who didn't, you know, follow Takuvma, who don't believe in Kales? And what about the people who are not ultra right wing war hawks like Cole? Like, what about these other, you know, groups? You know, like, we assume that as like a spacefaring, very advanced civilization, there are at least other pockets of thought on Klingon, and it would be nice to hear about those and learn more about them, even if they're small, even if they're just, you know, like I said, pockets of resistance versus these two, yeah, kind of like shitty, not that far apart poles,
yeah,
you know, that are represented by T'Kuvma and Cole.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's,
I have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
This is a question about Cole's face paint. How often do you think he has to reapply that?
That's literally in my notes. Like, I have a note about the goddamn
face paint.
Because
when he put it on Laurel, I was like, that just looks like regular old paint. So does that wash off every day, you know? Or does it, like, soak into the skin? That was a question that stuck with me overnight.
I agree. I think I was wondering about that. Like, why do you have war paint on in the middle of your ship every day when you're not doing anything? Or,
well, yeah. And also, wouldn't it make more sense? Because they're Klingons, right? Like, wouldn't it make more sense if they branded someone or tattooed them, like something more permanent? I feel like face paint just seems oddly temporary.
It is temporary. I don't know. Agreed. One scene on the ship that I rolled my eyes so hard in that they fell into the back of my head was, so, Laurel, right? Laurel goes in and she's like about to, you know, make a deal with the Admiral. And she says, scream. And the Admiral says, no. And she says, scream. And then the Admiral says, okay. Like, like, what? Lol. Like, there was no...
That whole thing, I didn't understand, honestly, what was going on, because when Laurel says, I went into defect and here's why, I was like, oh, this is going to be a double blind, because of course I still believe that, you know, she and Cook are cooking up something, that Tyler is that dude in disguise. I was like, oh, okay, so she's going to get the Admiral to agree to take her back, and this is part of some elaborate strategy, and then it didn't appear to be that. And then she sees those dead Klingons who've been eviscerated, which was really gory and gross. And I was like, I don't know what's happening here. I am completely lost.
I'm lost too, because I feel like they're like, I'm with you, right? I was like, oh yeah, she's trying to defect. Like, that makes a lot of sense and cool. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something that's going to happen with like the other dude and her and like with the Federation or whatever. And that's what like she's, that's her hope at least. But then, and then at the end, yeah, and so I don't, are they trying to trick us into thinking that it's one thing when it's not? Like, they're doing it so badly that, like, I don't care. Like,
yeah, exactly, that's the thing. You know, even if it turns out that, like, she did, it, like, the audience has been fooled, I am just not invested enough to be like, oh, awesome. I'll just be like, oh. Like, that will be my reaction. Oh.
Yeah.
In fact, it won't even have that much emotion in it. It'll just be like,
well, and the very end of the last scene with the Klingons was him being like, yes, you're in. Ha ha, we caught you.
Yeah.
So, huh?
I don't understand, Anita. I'm so confused by it. This show could be so much better. I feel like they probably have a giant writer's room. And maybe one person in that room has ever watched Star Trek before. And that person is just trying their hardest.
I bet
to
you.
Make good thing happen. But they keep getting shouted down
by
chuckleheads who are like, no, man, you'll be cool.
I bet
more
you
fighting,
some,
Lurka.
I bet you there's some people in that writer's room, like, genuinely are also like, what the fuck are we writing? But we're getting paid to write a Star Trek show, and that's cool. So I want to keep my job. I bet you there's people in there that are like, yeah, God, I don't know what the fuck we're doing either.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah. So,
which is why I think they have to warp into Exposition Quadrant every week and be like, this is First Contact. This is Prime Directive. I'm like, any other Star Trek show, they are smart enough to assume a base of knowledge because they know that, you know, your fan base overwhelmingly is made up of people who are already Star Trek fans, you know, so they don't, you know, hold your hand and walk you through things. And they assume, which I appreciate, that if you don't know these things, you will slowly become acclimated to the world of the show.
Yep.
But this show doesn't assume that, and which I think is part and parcel of them being on CBS. I think they are really trying to actively court non-Star Trek fans, which is not a problem in and of itself, but they're doing it in such a like ham-fisted way that it's turning off folks like us who have been with the show for much longer.
Sure. Well, and then I will say there, I have some friends who are huge Star Trek fans that fucking love it And I think they just love it because they want something new.
Me too. I don't
new.
Get it.
Like, they just, they're, yeah. they will take, they will accept anything in the Star Trek universe because they're so yeah. excited for something new. Okay. Yeah.
I am friends with a woman who loves this show, and everything I hate about the show is something that she is such a cheerleader for, like Lorca, for instance. She was like,
wow.
This is an amazing captain. I love this model of a leader, you know, and I'm just like, how, I don't understand how you and I have existed on the same wavelength and how I like you so much when you could be so wrong. So wrong.
Well, I think so. We might bring on some guests with the new, like in the new year with the new season.
Yeah.
It's the same season, but the new whatever chapters, I guess. That mm-hmm. actually, like, one person I'm thinking of that I wanted to bring on, like, actually really loves the show, and I think it would be really interesting to have us converse with somebody like that.
Is it going to be some? It's got to be someone with the ability or the desire to hang tough as we just take a dump all over
sure,
the show.
Sure.
Because I don't want this person to be cowed into submission.
I want them to
stand up and fight for their wrongness.
Yeah, agreed. We'll find that perfect person. Okay.
Hey,
so
I have. Go ahead.
No, I was going to change the subject, so you go.
Oh, me too. No, I was going to change the subject too, but what I was going to change it to is so off topic. I'll wait.
Okay. Are you going to remember, though?
Yeah, it's the very first thing in my notes.
Okay. I was going to talk about Stamets and Tilly.
Oh, good. Okay.
So when they put Stamets in the machine, so, okay, the episode starts and the ship dies and he's like, we don't have time to mm-hmm. grieve, blah, whatever.
Yeah.
And clearly Lorca's making decisions that the crew doesn't agree with because they're like, wait, you want us to do what?
Yeah.
And then the fucking other ship blows up. So we're kind of like, he's unhinged or whatever. Anyways, we already knew that. But as soon as I saw them inject Stamets, I was like, wait, they're still doing that? I think that I like,
yeah.
My reaction, I realized, was stupid because it was, they had made it clear that they were still doing this with him. But for some reason, I was like, oh, they only did it the once and it's had these repercussions this whole time.
Right.
Like, I was legitimately shocked to see him in that machine. Like, what the fuck are they doing? That is horrifying.
Oh, seriously.
Like,
yeah, no, it definitely is. I had a nanosecond, and it was very uncomfortable for me, of empathizing with Stamets.
Yeah,
man. It passed quickly, but there was a moment, there was a look of resignation on his face that was just so sad.
I know.
When he got injected. And I was like, oh man, like, yeah, they should not be doing this, and you should not feel obligated to participate in this, Stamets. It's not something like your reasons for doing this are scientific, and out of curiosity, and you feel this burden of responsibility, but you should not have to exercise that, you know, for the use of this mad Captain Ahab, you know, at the helm of this flipping ship.
It's horrifying.
And also, Stamets looked like he had the worst migraine. And I was like, oh, baby.
Aww.
I felt so bad for him.
Yeah.
And I was like, have some coffee, go sit in a dark room, tell Tilly to leave you alone, and just, you know.
Yeah, and like, I know we're supposed to be horrified. Like, the feeling that we're having is what the show is trying to invoke, but like, God, that's horrifying.
Yeah,
like,
it was the first time that I felt that for Stamets, though, and I was like, what is this?
What is this weird feeling?
It immediately evaporated, and I was back to being like, this fucking
guy. So then there's that scene with Stamets and Tilly in the dining hall, and And, like, so this is the shit that I hate
the
about
mess.
The show.
They call it a
thank
mess.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to correct me. There's a thing. Oh, where she's like, tell me what's wrong with you. And he's like, fuck off, go away. And then she's just there. Yeah. And then he does it. Like, it's the same thing with the scream, right? Where it's like, scream, no.
Yeah.
Scream, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just these, they're trying to build in resistance, but it's so fake. And I have such a hard time with it.
Yeah.
But there's a line that Tilly says, like, so. One, I'm glad that we hear him admit, like, the difficulties of whether he, like, he wants to report it, and he probably doesn't want to be doing this anymore, but he realizes that he's putting his partner in a really tough decision.
Right,
and so
right.
I liked at least having that little bit of explanation. But then Tilly says, you don't seem reassured. I'm usually good at providing. That's kind of my thing. And I was like, What? Yeah. Like, what? That's your thing? Since what? What? Like, they,
yeah.
They
exactly.
do not
exactly.
know what they're doing with this character.
They don't. If you go back and look at Tilly's first appearance and map that against the ways that she's being represented now, it's only been like 5 episodes, but it's a completely different person. And as much as I love Tilly, I want the old Tilly back, which is a
yeah.
weird thing to say
yeah.
from someone I just met a few weeks ago, but I want that old Tilly.
I agree. I totally do. So
yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What's the thing that you wanted to say?
Okay. So the name of this episode, Civis Pacem Parabellum, is Latin. And I, as I queued up the episode, I was like, where have I heard that before? That sounds so familiar. And I'm not a cultured lady, Anita. So it's not like I
Whatever.
Hang around with people who speak Latin. So where have I heard this before? And then I remembered
Uh-oh.
That it was recently in an episode of Holby City, which is a British hospital drama I'm obsessed with. And it was spoken by my surgery dad, Henrik Hansen, one of my 40 million older dude crushes, Guy Henry. He says it in a storyline that ultimately goes nowhere on that show. But shout out to anybody who watches Holby City. Of the 3 people who listen to this podcast, I'm guessing absolutely no one knows what I'm talking about. But if you do, hit me up. What up, Holby City?
What does it mean?
It means, if you want peace, prepare for war,
oh,
which is precisely the kind of bullshit
God.
Sentiment this show traffics in.
Yep.
Exactly, exactly.
I forgot know? To look it up. I'm really glad you did. That's gross. I almost wish I didn't know what it said. Just another
Too late.
Bullshit. It's funny. So I was just speaking at the games conference in Hamburg, Germany, called Play.
Yeah, and you weren't wearing your red pants, which I found very interesting.
So Ebony thinks that I only wear red pants when I do professional events. So that's funny.
Well, how you do that like 70% of the time?
I haven't in a
and
while.
And they look great.
Yeah, they're
your power pants.
I mean,
I feel like
I have
you might
many
not do
red
it as much
pants.
Anymore because I mentioned it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of your thing. You're like, it's like your Steve Jobs thing.
Well,
I love it.
So I'm in Europe for 30 days, so my packing was very, very specific, and red pants just didn't
mm-hmm.
make the cut. So here we are. Anyways, the reason I brought all of this up is that someone came up to me mm-hmm. after my talk and said, hey, I'm one of your 3 listeners.
No way. Who was it? Is it someone who has talked to us on Twitter?
No, I don't think so. And also,
oh.
the woman that's organizing the event that I'm doing here in Stockholm also is listening to the podcast. So there's our 2 of our listeners are in Europe, apparently. I know
Shut up.
That we have more than 3 of you, but, you know, here we are. And then Joe on Twitter, our buddy who loves your hair.
Yeah, that's our 3.
Oh,
that's
oh,
our 3.
I looked up a weave cap. I did
No,
my Googling.
It wasn't
a wave cap. Sorry.
Yes, a wave cap. Okay, good.
Okay, so it's a do-rag, right?
Oh, Lord, this is
that...
Oh, my gosh.
No, but like...
Joe, what did I get into?
It is exactly...
Oh, Lord.
Okay, it's what I thought it was, but when I imagine a wave cap, like, I thought that there was, like, grooves or something in it. So, like, now I get it. Cool, I'm down.
What?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Anita...
But I did my homework. I just want to.
You did.
I would just like to say that instead of making Ebony do the labor of teaching me about this, I would like
about,
to.
Yeah.
I would like to model that I went and Googled this information for myself.
Thank
because
you.
I'm trying to also model.
Anita, behavior. We're gonna. That's right. We're getting you there, one black cultural reference at a time. Baby steps.
I mean,
steps.
At least I know about
Baby
potato
steps.
Salad now.
You do, although I'm worried that just knowing about it theoretically is not the same thing as knowing about
well,
it.
You better invite me over
you know,
to your house
in reality. Time. Girl, I will hook you up when it's potato salad season again in America.
Perfect.
So next spring, summer.
All right.
I'll
we'll
hook
do
you
this.
Up.
I will not forget this.
Okay.
All right, y'all.
Good.
Thanks for bearing with us. This episode is coming out a little bit late.
Wait
on-
a minute.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Sorry.
You forgot Burnham's hair report.
Oh, fuck. And last week we forgot your little song. So do both of
yeah.
those
things. Yeah. Hello.
Sorry.
Okay. So, Ebony's hair report. Burnham's hair looked good this episode. That's all I have to say.
Did it look a little big
Theme
in
song.
The back, though? Hold on. Did it look a little big in the back?
Yeah, I like it. I like the fullness.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And it also, it looked moisturized, you
mm-hmm.
know, but not overly so. I was into it, you know? I feel like there's a different person doing her hair week by week, And yeah, I recognize that no one write in and be like, you know, they don't film these things in order and blah, 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 whatever. I get it. Okay. But I feel like there's a different person because it looks different week by week. And I'm looking at that stuff carefully. Anyway, Burnham's hair looks good this week. Theme song. Oh, we messed up last week, but we're trying to do better. Thank you for being awesome, all three listeners. Yeah.
That was a good one. I like that one.
Uh-huh.
Yay. I should put in some fake applause or something. Some soundtrack applause. For
you don't need to put in fake applause because I bet people are listening at home.
And clapping.
And clapping. Yeah. Standing up out of their chairs and being like, yes. Oh my God, I'm such a good actor.
I'm sure that's what happens. Mm-hmm.
Yo.
Okay. So thanks for bearing with us that these episodes are coming. This episode is coming out a little bit later on Monday. And also next week's is going to come out a little bit later, too, because we're trying to juggle time zones right now. So we appreciate mm-hmm. you still listening to us.
If you are.
They are. People are listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got mm-hmm. things to say. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Anita Sarkeesian. You can find Ebony at Ebony Aster. You can find mm-hmm. the larger Feminist Frequency crew at FemFreak and all the things we do at FeministFrequency.com. Any final words, Ebony?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
My final words are, I love all of you very much. I can't wait to engage with you this week on Twitter. That's the only place you'll be able to find me. Don't look for me anywhere else. And I also want to know, was anyone else disturbed by the starship that kind of flies into the eye and the opening credits? I just noticed that and it's bothering me.
Okay, let's talk about the opening credits next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do that. All right.
Okay.
Thank you all for joining us. We love you. Subscribe.
Have a good
and
week.
Stuff or something. Oh, we're on iTunes now. Were we on iTunes last time? I don't remember. We're on all the services now. Oh my gosh. Sorry. But I mean, okay, so we are launching Feminist Frequency Radio, which is a podcast with all of us about pop culture in general. If you look mm-hmm. up Feminist Frequency Radio on iTunes, it is up there. There's a teaser. Subscribe and you will get notification as soon as the first episode is released on November 15th. So please go do that. Tell all your friends.
Yeah.
All right, for real. I'm
there probably
now.
Won't be a hair report on that podcast, so don't worry.
I think people like the hair report. We'll see. We'll see if we can weave it in. Oh, yeah. God, I didn't mean to do that.
So bad.
Oh, shit. Okay, we're
That's
done.
That's a terrible way to end this
end
episode.
This. End this. Goodbye.
Oh, shit.